I am Becca Spence Tobias with Conscious Continuations Doula Services. I'm a gentle birth instructor, and I'm here with Hunter Clark Fields, the Mindfulness Mama Mentor. And you also have a podcast. Could you tell me what that's called?
It's called the Mindful Mama Podcast.
Mindful Mama Podcast. Awesome. So one of the reasons why you spoke to me, why I really wanted to talk to you, is because on your About Me page on your site, you talk about how you muscled through a natural birth. And that is almost exactly how I would describe my first birth, my birth with my son. I definitely muscled through it. I did it, and it was very empowering, but I would not say I was mindful for it, and I would not call it a positive birth necessarily, even though it was empowering. And something that gentle birth really stresses is that positive birth can mean different things to different people. So I was wondering if you could tell me a little bit about muscling through that birth and whether you would consider it a positive birth and anything else about your birth experience.
Yeah, well, I have two daughters. They're 6 and 9 now, but yeah, absolutely, that was true. Like, I completely muscled through that first. I was like, okay, I'm gonna have this natural birth, and I kind of had this attitude of like, it was like the wrong attitude. I had this attitude of like, okay, well, if I'm gonna jump off a cliff, I'm not gonna think about it ahead of time. This is like my way of thinking at this point, which is really, really wasn't a great way of thinking, because then, you know, when birth stress happen and it's scary, it's new, it's different, and I kind of panicked. You know, one of the reasons I teach mindfulness and I study and I've been practicing for a long time is because I have a tendency towards anxiety and towards being sensitive and all those things. And so the first birth was really intense. Like, I just remember like hanging on to my husband, being on my knees on one end and hanging on to my husband on the other end and just being like, just get this out of me. Done. And just, you know, using my muscle to kind of push through, and I tore, and it was really fast and furious. And actually in my second birth I thought, okay, I can do this. I can learn from this. I can make it better. And I had a whole different attitude of like, I can practice, you know, and I used hypnobirthing CDs, and I practiced, and I had a water birth, and it was like a whole different experience. It was pretty awesome, very gentle. She didn't cry, actually.
Aww.
It was really
wow.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so it was like they're both at the same place, so this incredible birth center in Wilmington, Delaware, and I love them, and I love the place, and it was like night and day as far as the experience with the two different children.
Definitely. So how could you tell me a little more specifically about how mindfulness in particular helped you make the second experience more positive, like what kind of exercises you were doing?
Sure. My mindfulness practice, I started practicing meditation before I was pregnant with my first daughter, and it really helped me to like calm. I used to have pretty extremes of emotion, like big highs and big lows, a lot of big lows that would come pretty frequently. And so my mindfulness actually practice really kind of, it's amazing. It was like, that disappeared. These regular dips of depression that I used to have, they completely disappeared, which was this amazing miracle in my life. And so then as I went from having, now I had a toddler, and I had reestablished my practice so I could kind of be calmer and be more grounded with her. She was a really intense birth, really intense kid, really intense baby.
And I would go into my bedroom every afternoon during her nap time. Luckily, this really intense baby, she napped until she was 4, which I thank goodness for. But anyway, I would go into my bedroom at her nap time and my nap time, and I would listen to, I guess it was a hypnobirthing guided meditation, guided relaxation. It would guide me through these deep, slow breaths, and I would specifically do that. I would do
meditation for myself in the morning, and then I would do this guided relaxation in the afternoon, and I would do the same one every single time. So I started to condition myself to relax really beautifully, to, you know, as soon as I heard that, I started to relax, and it was amazing. It was like night and day. Like, I remember on the drive down to the birth center, I, you know, on the way down, I listened to, on the second time, I listened to my MP3, and I was relaxing and okay. And the first time I was like all in a panic, and it was it really made all the difference in the world just to be. I really needed somebody else's guidance. Like, I really needed that guided meditation to bring me through it, because it was something that was, I just needed someone to hold my hand for, even if it was a recording. It really made a huge difference.
Well, we have, so part of the Gentle Birth program is there's an app that has hypnosis for birth as well. And the neat thing about the Gentle Birth app is it's super customizable. So whatever your stage of pregnancy or even fertility or parenting, there are special tracks selected for you based on what you select as your journey.
Oh, that's awesome. Yeah, that sounds really wonderful. Cool app. It's so needed.
It really is. I love it. I am not going to have any more babies, but even just as a new parent, I love using it. And there are also affirmations that are really, really helpful. It's really great. So what advice would you have for somebody who's interested in incorporating mindfulness for pregnancy?
Well, I think having a mindfulness practice in your pregnancy is so wonderful, as far as just bringing you into your body and out of your worries and your fears and your anxieties, because our brain, it just tells us a lot of stories. We're thinking all the time. It's telling you a lot of stories that might be worries or fears or things like that. And if you can practice a guided mindfulness practice, or your own sitting mindfulness practice, a meditation practice, either walking or sitting, or it can be in a lot of different ways. But for me, I like a formal, at least a short formal practice, like maybe 3 minutes to just ground you and to remind you that this is a time when I'm focusing on my breath and seeing my thoughts and things like that. And that can really helps enormously with some of the anxieties and the worries and the fears of pregnancy, and also helps you become more aware of what is happening physically, right? Like, because you're less like in the future and in the past and in a story. You're more grounded in reality.
So you mentioned having short formal practices, even 3 minutes. Do you have any other tips for finding time for mindfulness as a new parent?
Yeah, that's a big question, right? It's a big question. I really do think the key is to keep it really small and to keep it really doable. So a lot of people want to do like a 20-minute practice or something like that, but I think what I really encourage people to do is to create a habit that, even if it's super small, like a 3-minute sitting meditation practice and a 2-minute yoga practice, you know, something that's your own, where you're kind of like staking a claim in the ground to your self-care, which is so, so essential, right? And so you're saying, this is my time, I'm going to cultivate this time, I'm going to create a habit where I deliberately care for myself, where I'm very deliberate about nurturing my good seeds and about sending myself love and compassion. And if you can build something that's really small but consistent over, I do this 6 days a week, you know, then it as your child grows and you can shape more time, that will feed you even more enormously, because then as they get to be 2 years old, and then you're like one giant button to be pushed, you know, you have your practice where you can come and you can start to reduce that stress response. You can start to reduce that that reactivity, you know, that happens very naturally and very frequently for parents of young children, you know.
Right. Could you say a little bit more about self-compassion as a parent?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. It's amazing, because we are so hard on ourselves as moms. We're so hard on ourselves. We have, you know, we are a continuation of our parents and of our grandparents. And of our culture, and we are an amalgamation of all these things and all these things that we've absorbed through our life, and then we may decide, okay, I want to parent in this certain way, and yet, you know, because we are a continuation, our parents' voice may come out of our mouth, and it's not like the thing is that I think that we don't realize when that happens is it's not your fault, you know, it's not your fault that you were, you know, you've conditioned and you have suffering, you know, and you may have said something unskillful, right? You can choose to be, oops, I'm sorry about that.
Sorry.
You can choose to be a peaceful parent, and then you're going to make mistakes, and you're going to mess up, and you're going to yell. And being hard on yourself, being blameful and shameful upon yourself is not the way to start to shift towards more compassionate parenting.
Hmm.
The way to shift towards more compassionate parenting is to actually use those moments where you're inevitably going to make those mistakes and offer yourself compassion, because you're not going to be in the habit of offering it to your child if you can't even be in the habit of offering it to yourself. You know, it's like there's a metaphor that I really, really love, and it's like, you know, when you have an orange, right? Like when you have an orange, Becca, and you squeeze an orange, what comes out?
Orange juice.
Orange juice, yeah. Not pineapple juice.
Right.
Cranberry juice or apple juice, right? And so when we're in those moments when we are squeezed as parents, and you're going to have so many of them, oh my God. When you have those moments when you're squeezed, what's inside is what comes out. And so we have to practice that compassion inwardly. And plus, research shows that kids don't learn from shame and blame. They only learn fear. So, and neither do you. So you have to practice what you preach inside as well as outside.
That's really beautiful. For me, it's almost been the other side of it. I grew up with wonderful, wonderful, patient, amazing parents, and I'm hard on myself in the other way, saying, this is not how my mother would have acted when I get really frustrated, and then I have to stop and say, oh, this is a story I'm telling myself about who she is. She was a wonderful mother, but sometimes she got frustrated too. It's okay. Yelling doesn't make you overall a bad parent, that kind of thing.
Yeah. Well, you're very lucky.
Right. I definitely am.
Person to have that. But yeah, exactly. It's the opposite. Like you tell yourself this story that, you know, what I'm doing isn't good enough because it's not up to this ideal I hold
exactly.
myself to. But it's the same thing. It's like we have to allow ourselves to not be perfect, but to be good enough,
mm-hmm.
and know that good enough is what our kids need, not perfect.
What about mindfulness for facing the unknown as a parent, and especially in pregnancy?
Oh, well, you know, fear, you know, there's, I think Oprah used to say to her staff that there's only two emotions, love and fear, right? And you're either one or the other. And I think it's an interesting kind of framework to look at things. But, you know, that fear response is a very natural part of our part of us, right? Like our reptilian brain, the earliest evolved part of our brain, has that fight, flight, and freeze response, that fear response. And it's natural, right? That fear response is something that's trying to keep you safe and trying to keep you alive. And so one way of relating to fear whether it's for you or yourself or your child or whatever, is to just interrupt that pattern, right?
Right.
Oh, hello, fear. Hello, fear, old friend. I see you there. You know, kind of have a conversation with your fear. It's okay that you're here. You know, you don't want to try to block it out. You just want to acknowledge that it's there. Just like when you have a little child, you want to acknowledge what they're feeling. Same thing for yourself. You want to take a moment to acknowledge what you're feeling, accept that this is the way it is. And then, you know, you might ask yourself, is this really true that I need to be afraid of this? And then, you know, and just kind of bring it to the surface and take a moment to look at it, face it, address it, and not try to stuff it away.
In Gentle Birth, we say we name it to tame it.
Exactly. Yes. Bring on the narrative part of your brain, right? Because so that emotional part of your brain is like a lot of that very much right brain stuff, and then the narrative cognitive part of your brain is on the left side, and when the left and the right sides are working back and forth together, that's called integration, and that's when you're healthiest and happiest, is when you're integrated. And to name it, you're putting that narrative part of the brain, you know, you're saying, okay, that verbal part of the brain is activated, you know, and so it can say hello, emotional part of the brain, chill out a little bit.
Exactly. In Gentle Birth, we talk about our upstairs brain and downstairs brain, and we talk about our upstairs brain being kind of the wise, older neighbors telling the downstairs, wild, rowdy, scared college students to relax and chill out a little bit.
Great.
So, one last question. I was wondering, do you teach your children mindfulness?
Yeah, that's an interesting question. You know, I'm not very deliberate about teaching them mindfulness. So they know I get up and meditate every single morning. They see me practicing. Sometimes my youngest one will be crawling into bed with my husband while I'm meditating. And they have books and resources that we use. And actually, I've taken them on. We'll be going on our second family retreat at a mindfulness center. So we do these different things where it's a part of our life and our culture. But I don't do any specific things except, you know, like sometimes if, you know, one, like last night, my oldest had a boo-boo and she was really upset, and so she had cried a little bit, and I knew that I could tell, you know, it was time for her to help her calm down. So one thing I did, I said, please, you know, just put a hand on your belly, breathe in so your belly comes out, breathe out, blow it out, you know. So there are certain times when I'll kind of guide them through it, and sometimes I give my daughter, my 6-year-old, a guided sleep meditation for kids from the Insight Timer. But no kind of formal lessons or anything like that. I just want them to be, it to be in the air and all around them, and they know it as a tool so that when they're ready, they can have this tool. And it's funny, my oldest is in fourth grade now, and she said, I guess she had the other day, the teacher put on some meditation music for their work period, and the kids, some of the kids were like making fun of it, putting their hands in funny mudras and saying om, om. And she said she got all angry. She's like, that's not what meditation is, you know. And I thought, oh, this is great. She's just observing it, right?
Right.
Yeah, I think it has to start with us. It has to start with you. You know, we have to walk the talk, and then we share with them. I'm very transparent about what I'm doing, you know, and why I practice. I practice to be calmer, to be more grounded, and sometimes they say to me, my teacher yelled at me, she needs to practice, didn't you, Mommy?
I've had a couple sweet moments lately with my 3.5-year-old son. I do my little yoga practice every morning, and he was really impatient to play. And I said, well, we'll play after my yoga practice. Why does Mommy do it? And he said, to be a nicer mommy, but you're already a nice mommy. You don't need to do yoga. It was just so sweet. And then I was frustrated. I think we were trying to rush out the door to get to preschool enrollment. And he said, Mommy, take a breath. So he's even reminding me now, which is very sweet.
Yeah, that's great.
Well, thank you so much. It's been so great talking to you. Is there anything that you'd like to share about the programs that you're offering or about your podcast?
Yeah, come and check out the podcast. It's at mindfulmamapodcast.com, and you can subscribe to it anywhere you like, and that's a great way to get to know the work they're doing. And I hold a free virtual Mindful Mama retreat every couple times a year. One is starting up soon. I'm not sure if it'll be out in time for this recording, but it's always kind of coming back again, and it's with this a free service I do to help people develop their own mindfulness practice, and it's really fun because you get to do this practice for 10 days with like hundreds of other people, so that can be really fun. And then if people are ready for it, I have the Mindful King course, which combines mindfulness for your stress response and skillful communication, so that's for when you're ready to shift into that your parenting mode, and check that out, and that's at mindfulparentingcourse.com. So thank you. you, Becca. I've had a great time talking to you.
Thank you.
And you guys can't see it, but I can see this cute little baby on screen. So fat and adorable. I just want to give her a bite.
Me too. I struggle with that every day. She's just so sweet. Thank you so much. I'm really looking forward to doing the retreat with you.